Okay, yeah, praise God. Yeah, so it's another good morning that we can get to listen to God's word. And I think just following from yesterday's teaching, today we look at Jacob and him running away from his brother. And we'll read some portions, and I think it will be a small introduction to how we interact with angels. Because one of the things that we learn from the life of Jacob is that he actually, the angelic dimension was opened up to him, and he was able to interact with angels, see angels, who are angels and how do they work in the life of a believer, and how are we supposed to interact with them? What's our relationship? You know, I mean, you find that people who will keep describing angels and angels and angels, and at times it can make others feel that since, you know, you've never seen an angel, then you're not as holy or as righteous as they are. You understand? So there are those who give you that dimension, and at times it's possible to feel disqualified, but the Bible tells us that do not let anyone disqualify you with the false worship of angels, you know, and how such people who go into depth to tell us, you know, what they've encountered and all that. But let our hearts be established by grace. Let our hearts know that we are loved of God by the grace of God. Let our hearts know that angels are actually servants of God, that they are servants sent by God for the ministers, for the saints. So for you to understand, you must know that angels are not to be worshipped, no matter their dimension, no matter their power, no matter their beauty. In fact, angels will tell you, do not worship me, worship God. You know, John the Revelator, when he would encounter angels, and some of them were so majestic, he wanted to worship. He said, no, I'm your fellow brother. Yeah, I'm your fellow brother. And you know, when we come to Mount Zion, when we come to the church of the firstborn, that is the church of Jesus Christ, we find that there are innumerable company of angels. There are spirits of just men made perfect. You know, they are the saints are there. They are living creatures, like all of heaven's hosts worship God. We all worship God. And we see that there is a recognition that angels are created beings, you know. And angels ideally are not, they're not the same. There is no single angel that is the same as the other. I mean, they're not a race. They don't reproduce. They're not like human beings that are able to reproduce. So angels have no capacity for reproduction. There's no one angel that is the same to the other. And angels are created beings, because when we read that in the sixth day God made the heavens and the earth and you know, and all the host that is in them, you know, everything that is in the earth and in the heavens was finished on the seventh day, because on the seventh day God rested from all his labor. So everything that we see and that we also see above is also created. And you see, one of the things about God is that for the heavenlies, remember that everything in the heavenlies exists first before it appears in the spiritual, before it appears in the physical. That means that my thinking is, my understanding is that everything that is a reflection, it is a reflection, like the diversity that we see in angels, you know, the diversity that we see, you know, in how you can imagine, you read Revelation 5 or also 10, where one angel stands and one leg is in the heavens, one leg is in the water and one was in the earth, and he goes so high, and you know, and some even reflect God, like you can see, like the shape, the head of a rainbow, you know, the how they look because of their closeness to God. And you see, that's where now we understand how Lucifer was even made unique, you know, because he was made as an angel of light, and he was a worshiper. I mean, he was the one who would guard the presence of God, and he reflected of God so much that he felt that the worship was his. You see, understand? So there are angels that lost their place. They lost their place in heaven because they did not obey. They because Satan was so cunning that he deceived a third of the angels. And yet God has still so many angels. You can imagine. A third of the angels were deceived by Lucifer, and they lost their place. They were cast down. Now, it does not mean that Satan or Lucifer was actually the mightiest of angels, because we see there are angels, part of that community of angels, there are those who are so wicked that they had to be thrown down, and when they were thrown down, they were locked up. They were locked up in, and they are still locked up. And some, because of their nature, could not maintain their bodies. They lost their celestial nature. And some, you know, are as tiny. And of course, there's a doctrine that shows how some just operate as evil spirits and operate as sicknesses and viruses, you know. And that's why Jesus will recognize that some of these illnesses are caused by demons, you know. And immediately he will cast them out. And so those are fallen. The word is they are fallen angels. So our understanding is that the angels that are still there, that God still has, are so many. So they have different characters. They have the archangels, you know, they have the seraphims, they have the cherubims, they have, I mean, the various characters. And we don't need to struggle to ask or to know what is their dimension. But then there are also those that have the capacity to appear as human beings. And that's what Hebrews tells us, that I think it's 13, that do not be tired of entertaining strangers, because many without knowing have entertained angels. You know, always show hospitality. Many have entertained angels without knowing it. You understand? So there are people, and so at times, not every human being that you meet might actually be a human being. And at times, even it's to give you direction. You can be lost. I wish our brother who joins us was here. Maybe when next time we'll ask him to give his testimony of him and his wife. And in short, they were in Lagos, and I think it's Lagos, and they were in their car was stuck in a very dangerous place, like under a bridge or something, and it was out of fuel. And no one could stop for them, because if you are driving and you see a car that is stopped in such a place, then definitely you will know that these are thieves and robbers. So no one was stopping for them, and they were out of fuel. And then all of a sudden, a man appears who is a soldier. And then he asks them, is there a problem? And then they said, the car. Then he says, get, he tells the, and he, the, that time his wife was pregnant. And he tells our brother that, get out and start, let's push the car. So you can imagine the two of them are able to push the car. They push. Eventually they reach a petrol station. And then, as they are now, he goes to the back to find out where the man is to thank him. The man was not there. And then he asked, but where's the man who was helping you? He said, no, I thought he was with you behind there. And the man was not there. Now, that is an angelic encounter where God actually sent an angel, but he came in the form of a man who dressed as a soldier and actually helped them push the car. And this is his real life experience, and each of us might have one point have encountered the ministry of angels without knowing it, and maybe you are lost somewhere, or maybe you needed direction, and actually the person that you ask, actually the person might even ask you, where are you going, you know, and then you say, I'm looking for this, and they say, okay, it's that direction, and you might ever one day look for that person and you might never find them. And apart from that, God has also said that he has commanded his angels charge over us, to watch over us, that we do not dash our foot against a stone. The days that you've been rescued from accident, you know, you can be in such an accident that you know that there is no way that you are expected to have survived. Like, I've had a fall from a second floor window, and I went head first, and there's no way I know in human training, in human knowledge, that I should be alive today. And I mean, there are witnesses to it. I mean, I broke my hands, my abdomen opened up, and all those things. I should be paralyzed today. I mean, or rather, I should be dead. But what happened is that God commanded his angels charge over me. And so the encounters that each of us have, that God commands his angels to watch over us, even knowingly or unknowingly. And what we see in the life of of Jacob, and this is, you know, 28 Genesis 28, from verse 10, is that, I mean, the preamble to that, you can read it, how his brother decided that, I'm going to kill him. He promised that, let me wait for my father to die, then immediately dies, then I'm going to kill him. And of course, the mother heard that, and immediately the mother called the son and told him, you go to my brother, who is Laban, and stay with him there until your brother's anger subsides. When it subsides, I'll send word for you. Do you know that took 20 years? And Rebecca herself died before seeing Jacob again. But you remember her own words. She said, if there's a curse, let the curse fall on me. So when she was using her brother, the son, to steal the blessing, he said, let the curse fall on me. So based on that, she kept telling him, please do not marry any of the Canaanite women. You know, they displease me. And of course, now based on that, Jacob went, they lied again to Isaac that, I mean, that he needs, I want him to marry, so send him there, you know. And I think he blessed him again, and then he sent him. But now you see, the Bible tells us that that day when Jacob, when he was moving, and that the night came, is that he found a stone and he put it as a pillow. You can imagine, this is a man who is running away from his brother. He has stolen his birthright. He has been blessed, yes, but the blessing is bringing sorrow. Because it is an earthly blessing that comes with, that came as a result of human effort, that came as a result of stealing. And many things that we try to get as a result of a human effort, because it's not supposed to be by might, it's not supposed to be by power, but it's supposed to be by the Spirit of God. Anything that we try to accomplish by a human effort actually results in sorrow. And that's why it says, but the blessing of the Lord, the Bible says that the blessing of the Lord makes us rich and adds no sorrow. It is better. I mean, it does not mean that you're not going to be busy. When you're doing the work of God, actually, you'd be more busier than you were before. But the grace that God will give you, because it is, you grow from one level of glory to another. As long as you're in the kingdom of God, the path of the just keeps shining brighter and brighter till the morning day. As long as you're in Christ, as long as you're a son of God, you are granted more responsibility. Just like your child at home, as they grow, you add on more responsibilities. Right now, I my wife tells me, how my daughter, I mean, she's almost 2 years, but she will try and help around in washing hands, in carrying, she's given her small bucket, okay, carry this water, you know, all these things. So progressively, God treats us as children, because until we become mature, then he is able to commit kingdom responsibilities in us. So as long as a child is a child, even though the child is an owner of all things, he cannot be committed to the estate. So as we grow in maturity, then God apportions you your portion. He apportions you your area of dominion. He apportions you your area of service in his kingdom. Why? Because you already have the full understanding that, one, you're a child of God. You're loved of God. It is not your human effort that determines whether you're a son of God or not. Always remember this, that you are a son of God. God actually is the one who called you. While we were still sinners, he sent his son to die for us. It is him that purposed to reach out to humanity. It is him from beginning of creation that already wanted to extend his kingdom. He wanted to have a family. That's why he made Adam in his image and likeness. And that's why when you read Adam, we see that Adam is called an Adam, the son of God. So Adam was actually the son of God. And the original purpose is that God actually wanted to make sons. But the image of the Son of God was destroyed in Adam because he sinned. And when he sinned, but God says that he conforms us. He has conformed us to be, as we are encountering him, as he predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. So eventually the image of God is restored in Christ. It is restored in Christ. And that is why we are conformed to that image. From Romans chapter 8, towards 29 there. We are conformed to that image of his Son. We are conformed to the image of his Son. That is the purpose of God. That he to those he calls, he justifies. To those he justifies, he glorifies. All those things that God does is the process of making us and conforming us to his image. And anytime you find a part of you that does not conform to the image of Christ, either in your behavior, in your thought pattern, in your character, just understand that you're in the process of transformation. And that is what Christ does in us. We come to God, the only thing that makes us come to God and allows us to be children of God is not our human effort, is not our repentance, is not our, and by repentance mean here, I don't mean it's not our change of behavior, but it's our simple faith in Christ. Our faith in Christ, it is why we are saved through grace, by grace through faith. It is our faith in Christ that gives us access to be children. That's why he said that to those who believed him, to those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the power or the right to become sons of God, to become children of God. So we are born children of God in the kingdom by the simple believing and putting our faith in Christ. That's why no human effort has the capacity to make you a child of God. And that is the difference between Christianity, as we call it Christianity, and other religions. Religion is man's attempt to get closer to God. Christianity, or rather authentic Christianity, is God reaching out to man. So God reached out to you and me to make you his sons, to add you to his family. And you must keep reminding yourself, I am a child of God. I am no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I am a son of God. I am a son of God. Actually, that is the true position that we need to have. And that's why I say, look at the birds of the air. Do they worry about what to eat or what? But the Bible says that God, the Father, not a single one of them falls to the ground without God knowing. How about us? How about us who are his children? How about us who are made in his image and likeness? Is God not concerned even of a single hair of us that falls off when we comb our hair? God is concerned about the little details. And that says, do not worry about what you will eat or drink. Do not be like the Gentiles who worry about their clothes, about what they'll eat or drink, because your Father knows that you need these things. But he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, you're not seeking in the kingdom. Now, remember that this seeking is actually told to unbelievers. The moment you accept Christ, you already are in the kingdom of God. You enter into the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God does not come with powerful observation. The kingdom of God is within you. The moment you accept Christ, what the Holy Spirit comes is that he brings the Father and Jesus Christ, and they come and make their dwelling in your spirit. And because your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit, your spirit interacts with the Holy Spirit, interacts with Jesus, and interacts with God. And there is what is called koinonia. There is called fellowship. That is the mystery of the fellowship, that God is in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in you and me, the hope of glory. This is the mystery of the new believer. This is now spiritual birth. This is what happens when every believer puts their faith in Christ. But then, as we know it, we become children. And remember, as children, we need to grow, we need to develop, we need to understand the language of the kingdom, we need to understand the pattern of the kingdom, we need to understand the behaviors of the kingdom, we need to understand the kingdom lifestyle. Now, everything that we do after putting our faith in Christ, after salvation, is now a grace-empowered work. It is now God, through his grace, teaching us what it means to be a son of God. So you must always keep asking God, what should I do in this situation? Because the Holy Spirit is in you, is an indwelling teacher. He's an indwelling teacher. So now, I'm off completely. But Jacob, when he slept on a stone. Now remember, his father, all over Canaan, he had littered the place with altars. Abraham was a man of altars. And every place he went, the Bible says that he will raise up an altar and he will pray to God. And now, so what he does, remember Bethel. Bethel is a place that he found the stone. Now, what I believe is that this stone was actually one of the stones that Abraham had used to raise an altar. And you see, altars are actually physical places on earth, from where there was dimension, that where the heavenlies were open. Because like Eden specifically is not a physical, is not it's very, the word is so hard to describe, but basically it means a place where there is direct access between earth and heaven. And that is why God could easily come and meet with Adam. And likewise, Adam could easily interact with God. Like, it was a free place where they would interact with the voice of God. And you see, so Abraham, when they were chased out of the Garden of Eden, they realized that they still needed to communicate. And actually, God still communicated. Because God has put in us an avenue that he communicates directly to our spirits, even though we don't know him. Look and see how easy it was for God to talk to Cain. Cain was, yes, he had killed his brother. He's a sinner, but God was so easy to speak with him. Why is it that it's so hard for God to speak to us as believers? And you find so many believers are running to men of God to tell them what to do. They're running. And personally, when people try to ask me what to do, I try to just tell them, what is God saying? Because God speaks to you. And I really don't want to know direction for your life, because I want you to interact with the same Father in the same way that to know him, that he's a closer father as to you than he is to any prophet. Because he is right in your spirit. He's able to communicate to you directly. And so he sees angels ascending and descending. And that's very important that you understand the order of how the angels work. They ascend and descend. That means that the starting point is earth. I don't know how you get it. It starts from down. If they say descending and ascending, it will be a different thing. So that means that when the altar is created, now the angels, now they start from us and they go up and they come down. Basically telling us that, now, okay, let me just quickly put the thought and I'll want you to go and dig into it. The thought is simple as this. The place of the encounter of angels in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. I want you to understand that. Remember, we are pointing to Christ, and it's good that I've remembered we need to point it to Christ. It was a physical place in the Old Testament. It was a stone. It was an altar. And the angels ascended and descended. Then that place, he called it Bethel. And remember, the temple was to be done in Bethel, because he called it the house of God. So it became, when it went to Jerusalem, Solomon had to ask God that, please, I know you dwell in the heavens. I would ask that you dwell in this place, that at least when people pray to you, you answer the prayers here. Now, this is a thought. So it, from Bethel, it now went to the house of God, which was the temple of which Solomon prayed for the presence of God to appear. And when any time people pray, that it answers. But then come to Jesus in John. When Jesus is encountering Nathanael, what does he tell him? Nathanael was like, when he told Nathanael that, I saw you when you're under the fig tree. And then he said, hey, you did. I believe you are truly the prophet of Israel. Then he said, what if you see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of God? He told him, clearly you're going to see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of God. And the question you'll ask yourself, did Nathanael ever see that? But what he saw is that the ministry of angels was evident in the life of Christ. Because angels are our servants. We ask the Father to send forth angels to meet our needs. Whenever we pray, angels are the ones that do our bidding. And please read Hebrews chapter 1, connect it with that. It speaks of angels. That's why the Son is superior to angels. Christ is superior to angels. Because he made man a little lower than Elohim. The word there, if you read most versions, it will tell you a little lower than angels. But no, it's not that. The Son of Man is made a little lower than Elohim. If you read it is a little lower than God. That means our place in creation is God, then the Son of Man, who is Christ, and then angels and other heavenly creatures are below us. So our positional place is next to God, is at the right hand of the Father. We are in Christ. That is why you must know that demons are below you. Witchcraft is below you. The all works of the devil, their positional place is below you. And that is why when you know that, then they can no longer box you. But the moment you think that they are not below you, then you will struggle with them. And the demons will always, they can smell anyone who has fear. They can smell anyone who does not know the truth. They can smell anyone who is expecting an attack from the devil in the night. And they will bring it. Why? Because you lose your faith and you lose your place of authority. You lose the positional place of authority that God has given us. So the angels, the ministry of angels moved from the stone. It moved to the house of God. Then it moved to the Son of Man, who is Christ. And now it is in the believer, is in you and me. Because why? We are in Christ. We are included in Christ. So that means any mature son of God, any son of God, any believer has the ministry of angels operating in him. He does that, he doesn't know. And when you communicate, when you pray, it is the angels that go to do, to carry out your bidding, to carry out God's bidding. That's why when we ask God, send help, intervene, go and touch my family, go and heal this person. It is God now who sends angels to do that. So it's angels that do that work when we pray. So I want you to know that you're not supposed to worship angels. You're not supposed to be in awe of them. And any angel that you encounter that wants to be worshipped, that is the devil. That is the angel of light. That is Satan masquerades as an angel of light. Remember that. He masquerades as an angel of light. And many people are deceived because they are looking for lights. You know, they are looking for bright lights. They want to see angels. And of course, the devil will use that opportunity to teach them his own doctrine. And some religions have come up out of that. Because someone encountered angels and they were taught certain doctrines. They were taught by demons who masqueraded as angel of light. Sadly, that is the reality. I will stop there. Our time is well gone. My brothers, that is a dossier for today. You go and read more.
Thank you, Dr. Mayo. I think it's a very good reminder for us to really understand in terms of our place when it comes to, because you see, I've seen so many people making that mistake whereby they are elevating the angels above and they are actually worshipping the angel and saying, my angel, you know. Which is not true.
Yes.
Because if you look at the Bible, even Gabriel, when he sent Michael, you know, all the angels, they are sent with the word, or they are sent so that they can be able to minister. You know, when Daniel's prayer was kept in the, or you know, his answer was Michael had to be dispatched. So it means that if we follow the Bible all the times, if you follow it, it is very clear that the angels are not above the humans, but they are ministering beings, which means that our focus should be onto God, who is the one, the author and finisher of
Amen.
Our day.
Amen.
Thank you so much for that, for that reminder.
Amen. Amen. In Hebrews 1 verse 7, he says, in speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels wind and his servants flames of fire. And they're ministering, it's also in this place. Verse 14, Hebrews 1:14, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? So remember the definition of angels. They're ministering spirits sent to serve. They're sent to serve us, those who will inherit salvation. So our interaction is to ask the Father, and he sends his angels. And they minister to us. Even remember Jesus, after he fasted and after he was tempted by the devil, what did the Bible say? That the angels ministered to him. They came and comforted him. So we should be ministered to by angels. There are times you've done so much ministry, you're so exhausted, even maybe you're sick, and you just ask God for help, heal me. What he does is sends angels to minister to us. It is angels that heal people. It's angels that cut out cancers from people in meetings. It is angels that correct people's broken bones in meetings, in healings. That is the work of angels. And any son of God who continues to grow in knowledge, in capacity, what God does is that he administers angels to work with you. He gives, and they come with their authority. And that's why you find people's ministries have different capacities. There are those ministries you enter, healing is like a joke. Why? Because they've already opened up the heavenlies, that the healing angels are a part of them. So as the service is going, as he's preaching about giving or something else, but angels are at work. They're just healing. That's why you must discern graces. Anyway, it's good. Let me stop there. Go ahead, Tau. Let's say something.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I will not add much to what has been already said. Lord, I say thank you for the word, and thank you for the reminder.
Yeah.
And we pray that God will continue giving us grace.
Amen.
To discern the voices that speak to us, to also discern.
Yeah.
What comes to us and what we follow and what we don't follow.
Mm.
But yeah.
Thank you. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for truth, because it's truth that sets us free. I pray that, Lord, we shall have the wisdom to pray to you as our Father, through Christ, through Jesus' name, as you asked us to do. And that, Lord, you shall send forth your angels, as you've commanded your angels charge over us, to watch over us, that their ministering spirit sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. Thank you for every brother and sister who comes to the simple knowledge of truth and putting their faith in Christ and believing you as their Lord and Savior, O God. The Lord, may you send your grace. May you access heaven. May you move that altar from the physical, from the stone, from the house, from the physical temple, to them to realize that they are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that they are the true temple of Christ. They are the true temple where God dwells in them, and where the ministry of angels emanates from them, ascending and descending. May we have truth, and may we not be disqualified by those that falsely worship angels. Let us have the understanding that we are made lower than Elohim, but we are above the angels, and they are our servants. And not in pride, but in humility, that because we ask the question, who is man that you're mindful of him, the son of man that you're concerned for him? Give us the truth, protect us, watch over us, and may you send forth your angels to guard us, to help our ministries, O God, to activate, to send forth healing, to send forth whatever ministry that is needed, whether it is comfort, whether it is healing, whether it is power, whether it is miracles, whether it is fame, whether it is whatever thing that the message is needed to go forth. May you send forth your angels to do that, because you know it, and I pray for your grace. Thank you for your children that have heard this word, that, Lord, it shall not be stolen by the enemy. This day is blessed of you as we go to do our various work, our various meetings and services, and those that are going to church, the Lord, may you send forth your angels to meet us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Be blessed, my brothers. Have a blessed, blessed day ahead. Bye-bye.
Amen. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Jehovah.